Thanks for listening to the Book Club at 91.7 WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. I'm a big fan of this next author who's my guest this morning. He has penned the Dirk Pitt Adventures, the Oregon Files, the Numa Files, the Fargo Adventures, and he's here to talk about the newest in the Isaac Bell series, Clive Cussler. It's good to welcome Clive to the Book Club at 91.7. Good morning, Clive.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you.
Clive, you and Justin Scott have put a new Isaac Bell adventure together called The Assassin, and you have had Isaac a little younger than he was in the last book, The Bootleggers, and he's investigating John D. Rockefeller's Standard Oil monopoly. I was curious where this plot came from, whether you read something about Rockefeller and the boom days back there at the turn of the 20th century, or was this something that you thought would be a good topic for an Isaac Bell adventure?
It would be a good topic because he is, you know, I mean, we move him around a little bit from 1895 to 1906 and so on. But it's just what was the big thing at the time, you know, like this one gets into oil, you know, and then the oil barons and of course, Rockefeller himself. And then some of the other ones, we got into Carnegie and Steel and then just whatever was popular at the time.
And I was fascinated by how you lay out that early oil industry, because it looks like back in the day that with that monopoly, Standard Oil was really giving the smaller operators a run for their money, if not just outright crushing them.
Yeah, that was about true at the time. Rockefeller was not an easy man to deal with. He would, let's say, go in and go after another oil company and then wind up with it. But Teddy Roosevelt finally got to him.
When you're writing Isaac Bell's adventures with Justin Scott, I was curious how you collaborate, because I know Justin lives in Connecticut and you are out in Arizona and Colorado. What is that writing process like to put together such a potboiler like The Assassin?
Well, I'll work out kind of the basic plot would be a what if, you know, what if we get into the oil barons and things that went on behind the country's back and so on. And then we'll get together and we'll go over, you know, what if here and there and dream up the characters and just get a handle on it. And then Justin will go ahead and he'll start writing the basics. And then every so often, you know, he'll send them to me, and then I'll edit and rewrite and send it back. And it goes on like that till we reach the end of the book.
I know you love doing research for your books. What did you discover when you were looking into Standard Oil and John D. Rockefeller and the oil industry back there in the early 1900s?
Oh, how he finagled to get the over in Persia, you know, getting the oil field over there, which he did. He got it from out under the Rothschilds, and just kind of how the whole system worked in the early days. And it is fascinating on how the oil climate and the systems and everything and the oil barons, you know, worked. So it's a fascinating area.
I'm speaking with Clive Cussler, who with Justin Scott has just released a new Isaac Bell adventure called The Assassin. It's available where books are sold. You can learn more about Clive and all his books on our website, wvxu.org. And Clive, I was wondering, you were talking about the complicated system of the oil companies back in the day. I'm wondering about your system when you're writing, what, five different series, how you keep each of the plots separate. I mean, are you working on these books for the various series all at once, or do you focus on one, like the Isaac Bell adventures, for a stretch?
Well, I'm actually working on all of them. I mean, not exactly at the same time, but they have different publishing dates. So I'll at least have time to work on one, and I can go to the next one and come back and just keep working at it till, you know, we can finally type the end. But, no, it's not bad. It works out very well. And it's kind of fun to see what we both come up with, if we can come up with kind of a surprise ending, you know, between the two of us.
Well, I was reading an interview or an article about you in Publishers Weekly that you were talking about usually the beginning and the end of the book are easy to write. It's the middle that's hard. What's so hard about writing the middle of stories like The Assassin?
Well, I have the what if, you know, that's the big one. I always, if I'm lecturing in school, I always use the example of, you know, like the one I wrote, what if they raise the Titanic?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why? Well, there's something on board. So, you know, what's on board that'd be important? They'd spend the money and raise it. Then it comes down to, well, it's a chemical that they need to, you know, build something or another. So it just works out. It keeps falling. I always have a beginning and an ending, and the beginning usually is something that happened back in history. But the middle I don't always have. Sometimes I do, but a lot of times I don't. And it just comes. I can't. It's just, when you get to it, all of a sudden it starts to fall into place. And then you work it till you have a good ending that, you know, that the reader enjoys.
As I was reading The Assassin and reading about the adventures of Isaac Bell, I was struck how this almost read like a dime novel, if you may. And I don't mean that in a degrading way. Mm-hmm. I just mean, it you know, it captures you. It's got short, punchy sentences. Was that purposeful?
Yes, because you got to, particularly when you're writing adventure, you have to keep the action going. Because that's what people are wanting to read. They want to read something they can just get in with the characters and then go right through with them to the end. But it's so funny, when I started writing adventure back in the 70s, I was told, don't get your hopes up, nothing will ever come of it, and adventure doesn't sell. So, so we kind of changed the genre a little bit there. Now there are a lot of authors that write adventure, and so it's as much now as the, you know, the typical mystery book.
Well, I can't talk about a Clive Cussler novel without asking about the car involved. And here in The Assassin, the latest Isaac Bell adventure, it is a red locomobile. Tell us about the locomobile that Isaac Bell drives in The Assassin.
Well, I collect cars, and I'm a real gearhead. Unfortunately, the ones he drives, I don't own. Dirk Pitt, for example, has a car collection, and I use my cars for him when he drives around. But I just love to get, you know, cars of that era, and a locomobile race about there. That's would be a car that I'd like to own, either that or a Stutz Bearcat. And so it's just, I just try to do it to kind of just have fun with the book. And I that's what I try to write. I'm an entertainer more than a writer, and I just love to entertain the reader in such a way that when he reaches the end, he feels or she feels they got their money's worth.
Well, your car collection was turned into a museum, the Cussler Museum in Arvada, Colorado, and your daughter turned that collection in there. Have you been adding to the collection, or have you kind of peaked out?
I've peaked out a little bit, but still, that if I see a car that I like and the price is right, you know, and it's an empty spot or I could use in the warehouse or the museum, you know, I'll still continue. I still like to go to the auto auctions. They're great fun.
I'm speaking with Clive Cussler, who, with Justin Scott, is the author of The Assassin, the latest Isaac Bell adventure. You can learn more about it at wvxu.org. And, of course, you know Clive Cussler from the Dirk Pitt adventure novels, but also from the Pneuma Files and the Oregon series, the Isaac Bell series, and the Fargo adventures. And, you know, back to the plots, as we're going along, I know there are some writers who will map out a plot and take lots of notes. What is your style? Do you plot out where the plot is going, or does it reveal itself as you're writing?
Yes, a great deal of it does, as they say, particularly in the middle. I have to have an ending to work towards. But once I have the beginning and I'm off and running, usually, you know, when I reach a certain chapter, all of a sudden I've come upon something that just lends itself and falls right into the book, and that'll lead to another situation. So it's just kind of a process. It's a fun process. So that's the whole idea, is to make the book fun to read.
And fun to write, too. I understand you keep quite busy, despite the fact that you're, what, 83 these days? You're still working 8 hours a day, several days a week, right?
Oh, yes. I remember I used to get a friend of mine who was a real go-getter, owned a big tire company. I said, you know, someday they're going to find an old bag of bones sitting there behind some tires, you know, with cobwebs. Turns out he retired. I didn't. I'm the one that finds, you know, under a computer you know, with dust and bones. So, but it's, I got nothing else to do. I don't play golf, so I might as well, you know, do something I like to do.
Well, you said you got into writing way back when your wife started to work in work the evening hours, and you didn't have anything to do after you put the kids to bed. Is that true? You just decided to write adventure novels?
That's how it started. Yeah, she found an interesting job working evenings at the police department. Now, she wasn't, you know, in uniform or anything like that, dispatcher and secretary. And so I'd come home and I'd have to, you know, feed the kids, put them to bed, and then I'm sitting there, nothing to do, television, which wasn't big in those days. And so I just thought, I think I'll write a book. But I didn't have the great American novel burning inside me, and I thought, well, it would be fun to, you know, do some, you know, adventure work. And so I started studying all the old characters. Inspector Dupont, Edgar Allan Poe was the first. And then everything from James Bond to Travis McGee, you know, all of them. And then it took me, I guess, about a year to do that. And then I thought, well, what can I do that's different? So I took Dirk Pitt and put him in and around water. And that's become a fun, you know, genre to go through. Even the reader loves to see, you know, what's going on under the sea. And shipwrecks and all storms and, you know, all that sort of thing. So it's fun. I try to make it fun to read, too.
Well, you're writing so much. I know you had formed the NUMA, the National Underwater Marine Agency, and you've been doing real marine archaeology. Are you still devoting some of your time to that? And how do you find time writing as much as you do to pursue these hobbies?
Well, I just have to work it in. I think in another couple of months we're going back to Lake Michigan, where we've been looking for this airliner, the Northwest airliner that went down in 1950. And they've never found anything of it, no wreckage, nothing. So we go back and give that a shot. And I've tried 12 times to find John Paul Jones' ship, the Bonhomme Richard, and I failed on that. And I'm out there at the same time with my little trawling boat and equipment, and the big Navy research ships are going back and forth with us. And they haven't found it yet either, so... It's a tough one. I don't know, it must be buried or something. But if they can't find it with all the equipment they've got, and we can't, you know, all the time, maybe the aliens got it. I don't know.
Well, I appreciate your time this morning, Clive, and always love the books. I hope you will keep cranking them out until you're nothing but that bag of bones with the cobwebs in front of the computer.
Okay, Mark. Well, thank you very much.
Clive Cussler and Justin Scott have just released the newest Isaac Bell adventure, The Assassin. You can find it where books are sold and soon in libraries. You can learn more about it at our website, WVXU.org, and also more about Clive Cussler and all his work with his cars and with the National Underwater Marine Agency as well. This is the Book Club at 91.7.